The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is November 27, 2015, and we are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials. That's www.docsprefer.com. As you know, Dr. Wong is on with us monthly, and he's on with me in about 3 or 4 minutes, and I want to make an announcement. We got a question, and I've had multiple questions over the last 6 months about Dr. Wong, and they're like, where'd you find him? You know, right to the point. We love the way he talks, et cetera, et cetera. And I've been getting, can you get him on more? Well, I want to make an announcement. I talked to him the other day. He will now be coming on twice a month starting in February, every other month. So it'd be like February, April, June, et cetera, et cetera. And we couldn't be happier. So go out to docsprefer.com. As you know, he is sponsoring me for Iceland. And, he's been a very generous individual, he and his wife, to me, and I thank them both for it. I want to say a couple things, too. The last few days, I've had some not-so-good things with some people that have been associated with me or the show. That doesn't please me much at all, and I don't know where things are going to go down the road. But when you got people like Dr. Wong, I mean, the guy stands right behind me, and I'd watch his back anytime. So it's very important who you have around you, and I'm finding that out more and more and more now. Not that I've been oblivious to it, but sometimes things come out in the wash that you're a little surprised at. So just heed those words. If you're into things like this, be very careful who you surround yourself with. That's all I'll say right now. Sorenex.com. www.sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Bert's on every month. His father's going to be coming on either monthly or every month starting in 2016. I just got to work out some dates with him. Obviously, they've sponsored me for Iceland with one of their diamond bars, which is exceptional. And Bert's brought a lot of big names and faces to me, so I thank him for that. Good people. Don't forget, Hearts Collision, that's for New York State residents. That's Alex's mother and father, Alex and Lori. And Alex, just so everybody knows, December 19th is D-Day. He will deadlift 300 pounds with a Sorenex diamond bar. Wait till you see this kid. And tomorrow he's going to get a real taste of life. He's going to be training, event training with me for Iceland tomorrow. I can't wait to see how he handles this one, but he'll do okay. Top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, strength times power equals success. And the winner's circle are all on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Don't forget, Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle is a free ebook. Just give us your email address. Strength Times Power Equals Success and the winner's circle are about ready to get launched. I will talk to Chris, who does everything for us, on Monday. But the sales funnels are done. The intro music with the videos, it looks incredible. So I can't wait to get this out to you. There are both life-changing products. Take a look at them. I would really appreciate that. Chris Bigelow is MonsterDevelopment.com, 800-687-1609. And don't forget about sponsorship. Big, big stuff, because we got to keep this thing rolling. $500 a month. You get 5 to 15 shows a week. You're mentioned in the beginning and the end. Obviously, the money, we're taking $30, donating it to MDA. This is big stuff, and we want to be around and work with you, because we're going to be over a million strong, and we're going to be around for at least 25 years. Well, today, we have a good friend of the show. If you didn't hear me in the beginning, we got Dr. William Wong on today. I'm going to give you a little bit about this gentleman, and then he can come in and fill in the holes, and we're going to talk about, I know the one subject, this is something he goes bananas on, and I love it, because it's so important. We're going to talk about two things today. Lifting, okay? lifting, if you know what you're doing and you get in the right circles, it will change you mentally and physically, and it gives you an emotional style of being that you'll never get with anything else. And then second of all, we're going to talk about, you know, basically how to get yourself jacked up. We're going to get your testosterone cooking, whether it's through Dr. Wong's products or whatever he suggests. In my opinion, he is the expert on it. First off, he's a classical neuropath. He has a PhD in exercise physiologist. He's a certified athletic trainer, certified sports medicine trainer. And I know he's in the Martial Arts Hall of Fame, but we're going to bring him in and he can fill in anything else you like. Dr. Wong, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric, for having me on board.
Glad to have you. And now we got you twice a month, and that's even better. So that's going to make a lot of people happy. Fill in any holes you want, obviously, anything you got to put out here, and we'll get started on the show.
Oh, gosh. You know, I being a Franciscan at heart,
yep.
Half of me is a Franciscan friar. The other half's a Marine drill instructor. So yep. I've got yin and yang sides, and the yang side of me would love to talk about all the stuff I've done and all my accomplishments.
Yep.
But my Franciscan side says, no, let's not brag. but still, you know, I have tried to fit in as many things as I could fit in my life. I have tried to learn as many things as I thought would be useful in my life. And I have tried to be a Renaissance man. And in trying to be a Renaissance man, I have tried to learn a little bit or a lot about as many subjects as I possibly can. And I think that's a forgotten thing these days. No one talks about being a Renaissance person anymore.
Nope.
Used to be a big thing back in the 60s to be a Renaissance person, to be as well-rounded as you could possibly be, and ain't nobody talking about that no more. I scratch my head and I wonder why, because it's so cool to be well-versed in just about everything in the world.
Yep, I agree. You know, here's something. You know what I think a lot of it is? Because I've thought about this a lot, and we've talked about this. We'll just leave it on physical culture for this, because I mean, physical culture. We're going to get into some pretty cool shit today, but let's just go with that theory. Isn't today it seems like everything is specialization? I mean, that's how I see a lot of it now. And you're never going to become a Renaissance man. I mean, look at the people. You know, like you look at like a Peter Martin who just passed away. You know, this guy knew everything about a stone on top of a stone on top of a stone, and all the history and the culture that went along with it. I'm with you. I don't see this anymore. It's like, and I think a lot of it is money driven too, because if you can be good at one thing, you know, you can convince people basically, hey, come on, check me out. You know, I can help you out, et cetera, et cetera. So, right. And you know what else too? Let's face it. I think the world's become inherently lazy. I mean, to go out and do what you have, right? What you have done in your life, okay? You've gone out, tested the waters all over the place. You're a well-read man. You can speak eloquently. You can get your point across, whether it's harsh or you could just sit in a room with somebody and just teach them that way. You don't see that anymore. And the only way they teach now, if you go out to all this bullshit on Facebook, is why does every word got to be F? Why does everything have to be associated with that? Does that get your point across? Or I got to wear a shirt that says I'm effing bit? You know, I don't get all that. I don't think you have to do that. I mean, if you're with a bunch of your buddies and you want to open up, we all do it too. But I just think that's a lot of it. I mean,
it actually shows how small-minded the world has become.
Yeah.
That you have to resort to profanities. And like you said, you know, there's sometimes you just have to. The Marine sergeant in me recognizes that very
Absolutely.
Well. But most of the time when you go to teach, you don't need to use any of that stuff. And you'll actually lose people's attention when you revert to that stuff.
Well, I always look at it like this. If that's what you got to revert to, you don't have too much to say. And, you know, a lot of times it's ignorance,
yes.
man. You know, I can't say when we're not out maybe having a bourbon and a cigar, you know, things can get a little rough. But we're guys. We don't have, you know, our women around us. We don't have kids that are 10 years old that are very impressionable. And I wouldn't even talk that way in front of an 18-year-old if they're my kid. I just think things have resorted at times to the lowest common denominator. I you know, let me put it this way. I don't have to hear somebody say the F word repeatedly. I don't need to see a girl with her pants down in the middle of her ass crack, all right? I don't need to see it tattoos from one end of your head down to your balls. I don't care about any of that stuff. That, to me, that's more of being a follower than a leader, because you're doing everything everybody else is, you know?
Exactly.
So,
bingo. You hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, I don't care, but I interrupt you. Go ahead. You got other, you want to, you've got to have other stuff bio-wise. I mean,
oh,
you know.
Oh, gosh. Aside from the sports medicine, the naturopathic, the martial arts, I have tried to parlay the philosophies of each of those into the rest of life. And honestly, the martial arts parlays really well into all of life because of the guiding philosophy of the martial arts. Even though the Chinese martial arts are way different in philosophy from the Japanese martial arts, all the Japanese martial artists all grovel and worship their teachers and stuff. And the Chinese are not like that at all.
Yep.
But the guiding philosophies will give you a way to comport yourself. And this goes directly into the changes that lifting will engender, because it's the same type of guiding philosophy that leads us into lifting. There was a book that not many of the listeners are going to have ever heard about, called Sun and Steel. Mm-hmm. The book was by a Japanese playwright named Yukio Mishima. Now, yep. Mishima is infamous for trying to take over the Japanese government. It was a symbolic gesture. But he wrote about the cultivation of the mind and how when he only cultivated the mind, the rest of him began to degenerate and go to pot. And he was not anywhere near as creative. But when he started cultivating his body, when he started lifting weights, when he started practicing martial arts, especially when he started doing Iaido, which is the live sword, how the rest of him became so creative and so his writings just became prolific and stuff just poured out of him because he cultivated his body, and that in turn opened up his creative juices and fed his mind.
Absolutely. Well, and this is the whole thing. See, people, how do you, I'm going to put it this way. I wrote an article. I haven't finished it yet. I've made the decision, especially with some of the, I had to write 10 emails for the people on my list. And Chris, who does all the work, said, I want them, he goes, you are so content loaded with everything. He goes, I want you to write your emails the same way. And I'm like, okay. And he wanted 10 of them to go along with the launch of the products next week. I hope everything's going to be going after I talk to him on Monday. And so each email technically took me an hour to write because it has routines in it. It has a lot of my thoughts, a lot of my philosophy. And I just started thinking, you know, when I was thinking about a subject here, I'm about halfway through it. I'm not going to read it yet. It'll be done by the weekend. And I call it mind-crushing thought. And what I did here with this is when I talked about one of the subjects, one of the pieces in a paragraph, I said you can't basically separate the two. Now, I'm going to read one or two I'm going to read a paragraph through here. Now, this is from – are you there, Doc?
Hello?
Yeah, I got you. You're back.
Yep.
You're back. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a couple things here. And what I did here, I started the thing off with this is one of the paragraphs, and it goes, through your muscle building comes mind building. As I stated in the paragraph above, you can't have one without the other. When I first started training, all I cared about was how big and strong I could get. That was fine to start with, but once your goals get bigger, the evolution of your... All right, we're back here, and I was telling Dr. Wong about this article I started writing, and it's called Mind Crushing Thought. And I'm going to read, I don't have this anywhere near done, it's maybe a third done, but I want to read a little bit to everybody out there, as this coincides with everything we're going to talk about today. I put, through your mind muscle comes mind building. As I stated in the paragraph above, you can't have one without the other. When I first started training, all I cared about was how big and strong I can get. That was fine to start with, but once your goals get bigger, the evolution of your mind begins to take control. to all of us who are unfamiliar with this, especially when you're 11 years old, it can put you back on your heels. This is when you begin to start learning yourself. You are now being challenged mentally and physically. What do I do? The four words I believe which will make or break you from becoming a superstar is listen to your body. The most important thing here we must establish is that hardwired connection to your thoughts. So, you know, I'll leave it there. And this is what I believe, that people always try to draw a difference between the physical and the mental aspects, I believe, in training. Because most people figure, look, if I feel okay, I could just go in and hurl around anything I want. Well, that will work for a little while, but you're going to come to a standstill one way or the other. And usually, unless you've overtrained yourself very, very badly, you're going to have the mental breakdown, because you're not going to understand, okay, what the hell is going on here? You know, last week it went so easy, you know, I'm just going to try this. Well, when you go in and just try anything, it's not going to work. So now you have to establish yourself mentally. And the only way you're going to get yourself physically joined is you're going to have to become mentally joined to the physical end of things. This is where, you know, when people would call you, Dr. Wanger, they'd call me and say, hey, look, I'm really stale right now. Nothing's going right. I just can't figure out what's going on. You know, basically that connection that never was there is totally broken. It's unraveled. So this is my question to you. Say we've got somebody that's been training 4 or 5 years. They've been very lucky how they've gone. They've had relative success, but now we got the mental picture to address, because the only way they're going to get back on track is by doing this. What would you tell an athlete? Let's go with an athlete. We're not going to go with, well, we could talk about the regular, but let's go with someone that's pretty athletic, has aspirations of competing, et cetera, et cetera. But now they've hit the brick wall. What do we do? How do we establish the mental end?
Well, first, take a few weeks off from training.
Yep.
Most people get really stale doing what they're doing, and they don't realize that they've gotten stale. The body hits a plateau where that particular exercise or that particular routine or the particular sets versus reps or the particular weight is no longer being seen as a stimulus. Remember, we have to remember that exercise is a stimulus and response mechanism. For every stimulus, the body responds by adapting. And if the stimulus isn't seen as an adaptive stress, then there will be no adaptation to the exercise. So we just take off, and then during the period off, we do mental rehearsal. You know, mental rehearsal is another way of meditating, but it's an active meditation where we see ourselves in our imagination doing what we can't do. We see ourselves lifting the weights we want to ultimately lift. We see ourselves performing each rep with beautiful, absolute, perfect form. We see ourselves accomplishing the goal we wish to accomplish, and we see ourselves as victorious. Mental rehearsal has gotten to the point where even elite troops have been taught to do mental rehearsal, because the war psychologists have found that it improves performance in war. Well, hell, if it'll improve your performance in war, it'll improve your performance in everything else.
Hell yeah. And you know something too? Like, I do everything like that. I load it with as much emotion, because that was what we're talking about. I emotionally try to make myself visually right there doing it. Now, the other night, well, I trained by myself the other night, and I do the same stuff. But when we started training stones last Sunday, this is what I was doing. Now, Dennis was there, and obviously he does things different. He hasn't done it as long. I don't know how proficient he is with visualization and all that. But what I was doing, I'd walk away before I'd start, and I was kind of walking almost around in a circle, almost like an animal pacing, you know, back and forth, round and round, round and round. The two deep breaths, the third one through the nose, out through the mouth, big exhale. And knowing, you know, without even picturing what I was doing with the lift, I could take myself mentally and just keep thinking, lifting stone, lifting stone, lifting the stone.
Cool.
And when I approached that stone, it was every time I picked it up, it felt like I didn't have shit in my arms. And, we went out to the power rack because the videos are out on my YouTube channel, but I sent Dr. Wong the two videos. And, you know, that was a 300 plus pull out of the rack. Granted, it wasn't off the ground, but right now the idea is to save the lower back. We're just starting out, and I'm doing an awful lot of other things that are really hitting the small of the back. And second of all, I don't care what anybody says. I mean, that was a 150-pound rock, and we were running with that thing. I mean, that's the first week out, okay? Now, and I want to tell everybody this, too. I don't train any longer than a half an hour. That was an old Sig Klein move, yep. And I'll tell you why I'm doing it. And you'll appreciate this. I'm doing a program with Eric Gutman called Knuckle Down, and we're going to release it next year. And it's all power rack and stone work and grip work and neck work. I'm not doing much other than on the fourth workout. I do one-sided training. Everybody knows that. I'm not going to go over it again. But you got to realize something. A half an hour, we warm up for 20 minutes, set the egg timer for 30 like we did Sunday. Here's the deal. If we're not done, we're done.
Yep.
If the other guys want to keep going, fine. I'm done, all right? Because I'll have to be ready Tuesday night to go back in and try to hit 507 to 517 dead stop out of the hole. I crushed 507 again on Wednesday night. I think I'm very close right now to doing my first opening at 507 at bottom position, which I don't know about you folks. That's a hell of a lot of weight to open up with, okay? I'm doing this for a couple reasons, because I do have a goal of what I want to move at that position eventually, and I've moved a lot more than 500 at that position, but I'm not going to say the number because it's a very large figure. And second of all, even though my arms are behind me, I feel sitting in the hole like that is guaranteed to tear that stone right off the ground, because other than having my arms in front of me, I'm in the exact position that I would straddle that stone, get down, and pick that thing up. So that's why I'm doing it. But I will tell you this, like Dr. Wong said, the emotion, the visualization, the quietness of learning and being out there, and, you know, for me, getting away from people and stalking is how I do it. So stalking is, like I just said, circular motion with three breaths every time, back and forth. If you watch an animal in the jungle, especially the big cats, watch what they do when they walk around, when they're stalking, how they get down real low so they can't get a scent. That's all I'm saying. So, you know, and another thing too, Doc, that is really impressive about being very physical. Not only does it change you internally, you know, I'm talking like the way it feels like your DNA, your blood, everything is just kind of changing. But we get into, you know, when we were talking about, like in that article, the circuitry in your brain and how, you know, grabbing a bar, shaking a bar, twisting a bar, how that all goes into you. And all this emotion that you're generating when you're training, which can work very good for you or against you. I've seen many guys in the past, they'll get too emotional or pissed. They go up to grab the bar, they bomb on it. What's a good practice where we want you emotional, we want you physical, we want you lifting as much as you can, but what is a good way to kind of keep you in the box a little bit so you don't step over that line and end up going the other way? What would you suggest?
You should be aggressive, but you shouldn't be angry. If you're to the point of being angry,
yep,
then you're getting really too emotional about the whole thing. You yep. need to step back, take a few deep breaths, give it a couple of minutes, and just get aggressive and angry, but don't get, you know.
Yeah, like not slapping you across the head and all that bullshit.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah. Like you see all them football players do, you know?
Yeah, they
hit themselves across the head too much. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know something, then they'll all be going like, oh, we all got concussions. Because I, not to steer off the thing, I was like, what the hell's going on? Now they're saying Frank Gifford had, I was like, every time I saw Frank Gifford up to the point where I don't know how long it was before he passed away, he seemed pretty nimble in the head to me. I don't know what's going on with this, man. I'm getting to the point now where I'm not dismissing it, but I'm starting to question it now more and more, because how come everybody suddenly has had concussions and all this who played football? You know what I mean? It's like, is it going to pass the smell test if everybody now is coming out and saying it?
You know, my first concussion
yep.
was playing buck in Catholic school
yep.
in Brooklyn. I was knocked out in the middle of the play street. So, you know, sister or whatever came up, kind of tapped me on the chin, woke me up, yep. You okay, Wong? Okay, get up, go. And then I was gone.
Yeah.
You know, and so everyone gets concussions. Now, mind you, if you have a certain degree of concussion, and if you have repetitive concussions, as happens with football players, especially linemen, then you know it's going to do something to your brain. Boxers are the worst for having brain damage from concussions. There was a fellow I went to undergrad with. He was a PE major along with us, and I remember once in kinesiology class, he raised his hand and asked the professor about some question that had nothing to do with anything in the world.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But Dr. Bacon knew this fellow was a boxer, knew he was semi-pro, knew he'd had a number of concussions. She took a deep breath, answered his question, and then went on with the with the class. Oh. And the rest of us are going, "What the fuck?"
And that's the thing, man. You know, and now you know. Obviously, the science is better, and we all know that. But you know something? I'm glad it's better, but, you know, I look at a lot of things now. It's such a double-edged sword with everything. It's like no matter what it is, somebody's got an answer for it. And it's like, should I believe the answer? You know what I mean?
It's the point where they don't want you to do anything. You might hurt yourself, you poor dear.
That's what's going to – and this is happening all over. And I don't like this because – you know, we don't live this way, and they're trying to turn you into such pussies with everything that you're going to be afraid to come out your front door. That's what's going to, you know, look it. We have a world now where you can get anything online, right down to your food delivered to your door, right down to your dinner. What's it going to be? You know, that's what we're talking about, how lifting can change you, you know, make you better. How are we ever going to get better if this is all we're concerning ourselves? See, look. I think with everything, you got to know the ins and outs. You know, you got to know the good and bad. I think as a person that really cares about yourself, I think you should, all right? I think you should know the situation of anything you're going into. But this is another thing. If you like your liberty and you like the ability to make decisions on your own and everything, how are you going to do this when everything you're told is just going to make you, you know, like they say, sick or poor or fat? You know what I mean? It's like... right? What do we do? You know, how do we stop this? It's a plague now. It really is. And, like I told you last night, I was telling Dr. Wong, I was at my sister's, and everybody that listens to the show knows that I have young nieces and nephews. And, you know, there I am with the 5-year-old and the 8-year-old, and then, you know, the 12-year-old, and then suddenly everybody wants to play. And we're just taking a football and throwing it back and forth and all this. And, you know, teaching the kids how to grab, you know, the threading on the football, how to throw it correctly and all that. And it was a ton of fun. And I'm saying to myself, you know, it's too bad kids now are basically throttled in the sense, you know, being told that, well, you know, you better be careful if you play kickball, or you better be careful if you play football, or if you run, you could fall and, you know, crack your knee. It's like... It's this thing. It's like what's going on in the world right now, and I'm not going to get into that, but look at everything that's going on out there. Everything is a fear-based way, and I don't see how humans are going to be able to sustain with this type of stuff unless, and this is where I think lifting is such a great challenge both mentally and physically, and I've said this over and over the last week, is this. I don't care what happens out there, okay? They can tell you whatever... the violence, whatever. This is my feeling, and always be. Now, it's never going to mean you're not going to lose, or you could potentially get killed or whatever. But my feeling is, if you're very sharp mentally and physically, it's going to be a hell of a lot harder for anybody to come up and screw around with you. That's all I can say. And if they try, hopefully you have the tools to defend yourself. Or as my martial arts teacher said, if it comes down to the point where you feel you're going to get killed, and there's no other resort, he says, it's not a shame to run either. So, if you want to save your life, so what do you think about that? Probably not the running thing, but, you know.
We've gotten to the point where, just like in Europe now with the Arab invasion.
Oh, yeah.
You are now seeing all these bleeding heart liberals all of a sudden become hardcore conservatives. You're now seeing all these people who are absolutely anti-gun start preaching. Hell, Marine Le Pen wants to rearm France. Great.
I know.
You know? So you're seeing the pendulum swing to the other side because it's such an extreme that it has to come back to center and it has to swing over the other way. We have so wimpified, especially the boys.
Yep.
And all the soy and all the flax and all the estrogenic foods and all the estrogenic chemicals in the plastics and the soy formula from infancy has so effeminized men, especially, and made women less feminine as well because of feedback and all the other mechanisms.
But
we're going to see people go call bullshit on it, go in the opposite directions, and I am predicting that once we're going to live long enough to see the pendulum start swinging in the opposite direction, and all these wimpified people who only train their thumbs playing video games, they will have kids who said, fuck the video games, I'm going to go lift weights.
I want Olympic bar
for Christmas. I don't want an Xbox.
Yeah, well, I think it's starting to happen now. I'll tell you something else, seriously. We're going to live way long enough to at least be part of the resurgency of men, because obviously you and I and anybody that's associated end up starting to talk about this, because this all goes with the first part of the show, with the physicality. What is it building besides the emotion, the strength, you know, the mental tenacity? These are all things that, if you're not getting this at home, come listen to us, because we're going to give you everything, man. And hopefully it influences yourself to go out and do the right thing. But you know what is really strange? And I just see, like, from my sister's family, none of those kids are bullies, but they're all, like, very strong mentally and physically. And they've been taught, my sister and my brother-in-law, you know, both won martial arts, my sister, one, you know, semi-pro football, who's a coach. I mean, this guy loves anything with strength. So, you know, all the uncles are either weightlifters, boxers. So everybody around them, male-wise, is physical and very physical when you look at them, too. I mean, they know. I think this is the best things for especially the girls. It worries me now, you know. Natalie has just turned into a teenager. Suzanne's not far behind. Very pretty girls, very smart, very athletic. And you know what kind of world it is out there. And people seem now to think that they can take liberties on people and do whatever the fuck they want. And I got news for you. We were talking about that last night. God help somebody, and I hope it never happens if they ever put a hand on one of those children. Because I'm coming then, man. And you might stop me, but you might not. So, you know, it's I think with the little boys, especially with the soy and all that horse shit, this is what I'm asking. You don't have to say yes or no, but I know you're so goddamn blunt. That's what I love about you. Do you honestly think, and I don't like thinking like this, but I know there's a lot of evil people out there. The soy, the estrogenic things, whether it's in the cans or the plastics or the flaxseed and all that bullshit. Do you think it was made to make men more like women and make a docile society that we can rule? Or do you think it's just goddamn greed or just stupidity of not even knowing? And we're talking about people that are supposed to be highly intelligent. What do you think? And I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
I have always said it was absolutely on purpose done. Because
I think so, too. I agree with you.
Bitchy, soft subjects are easier to rule, manipulate, and crush than high-spirited citizens. If you're a strong citizen, if you are a man, a full man, capable of doing mental and physical work, if you are a strong woman, not just one of these feminazis,
right.
You know that you are a woman. And as a woman, you need a man, and you come together, and you create one entity. That's when you know what a home and a family and nature, God's creation, are supposed to be.
Yep.
And if you ruin God's creation by making the boys just so feminine. I mean, you know, just to give you an example.
Yeah.
All of the actors who are playing action heroes, the younger action heroes, the guys in their 30s, and in their 20s, all of the actors who are playing American action heroes now, they're all Australian.
Yeah, no shit.
They can't find a single American with any balls or that isn't a cocksucker to play a hero guy. Well,
How bad is that? John Wayne's got to be rolling in his grave right now. You know that?
He must
Holy
be.
Shit. Oh. Well, and, go ahead.
You know, the take a look at the there was a baseball player. I forget his Ted Williams.
Okay.
Ted Williams, champion baseball player, right?
Yeah.
Champion Marine Corps fighter pilot, Medal of Honor winner.
Yep.
A complete man. Yep. He could fight. He could play sports. He could intellectualize. College grad. Did really great. He had every field covered. How many men do we have like that now?
No, you don't see it. And here's the thing, Doc. If we had him, they would never promote him.
Yes, exactly.
Okay? Because look at any, you know, I'm not a big TV guy, but if I watch anything, okay, every goddamn commercial, the guy looks like an idiot in there. Usually you'll see the wife, she's got like a pair of pants on with a belt, and the guy's walking around with a fucking purse, man. I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, and then you'll hear, I was reading a thing there, you're like, oh, this is just in fashion. Let me tell you something. You're never going to catch this guy walking around with a fucking purse, whether he's holding in his hand or around his shoulder. Yeah, have I held, like, my girlfriend's purse while she had to grab something? Yeah, but, I mean, if somebody comes up to me and says to me, nice purse, asshole, you know, they're gonna get a purse right across the head, believe me. It's not going to be any of that shit where it's, oh, you're hurting my feelings, you know, it's not. When they hear me let out a yowl, they're going to realize that ain't a chick, you know, a guy that wants to be a chick. But, you know, and this stuff walks hand in hand with the weight training and the testosterone and the manliness and the ability, you know, I find when I'm training heavy and hard, I feel more manly than ever. And not only that, I'll tell everybody who hasn't done it, I mean, I just feel equipped from head to toe. Like, my mind feels real sharp. My mood is real good. I seem to get along with people a lot better. My energy is higher. My creativity is, like, through the roof, man. And this isn't by accident. You know, this is the way I'm doing this is by design. And the thing is, with all the shit that's coming at you, whether, you know, it's the food you're eating or the plastic you're drinking out of or these goddamn supplements that are supposed to be good for you, and I think you were the one who told me or someone told me that they're not even listening when they're putting soy. Here you go, everybody, if you haven't heard this. They're putting soy in supplements you'd buy in a health food store, as in bodybuilding, if you want to call that. So they're masking shit like this, I've been told. Oh, Bill Crawford told me that. So what are we dealing with here? I mean, we don't even know half the shit that might be in the stuff that we think's good we're taking. And here we are, we can't figure out why, you know, we're watching The Godfather and we're crying. You know, right? Sonny just gets blown up on the causeway and we're crying. I'm like, what the hell's going on, right?
I had an Italian girlfriend.
Yep.
Used to cry when Sonny got shot.
Yep.
In the Godfather movie. I'm sitting in the middle of the movie theater, way up on the balcony, and Sonny gets shot, and she bursts into tears. I go, hey, kiss it each. What's the matter?
Well, they were on yesterday, and I was watching them back and forth, and was that because the last two, I usually don't watch that stuff. I love The Godfather. I've got the whole trilogy, and I'll watch that, like the Rambo movies, like the Rocky movies, and the two movies I never thought that I would be hooked on, and they're so goddamn funny, are those two Home Alone movies. Oh, my God. When he plays that track of that actor, and the guy plays it whenever he's in trouble,
right,
and it'll be like what's he call him? He's like, keep the change, you filthy animal. And I almost fall off the chair every time. It's like a 10-year-old watching it. But there's just some shit that you connect to and you like so much. But, you know, I think now, especially, and I agree with you, when you're seeing, you know, you saw what happened over in, like, Europe, how they decided to just give up what they were, their whole identity, and welcome everybody under the sun. You've seen that in Australia. You've seen it all over. And now suddenly, everybody's like, this ain't working. You know, we're either going to boot you out of here, or now we're going to start, you know, defending ourselves with whatever we're going to carry. I think everybody in the United States knows the click here. But you know something? If you don't have a strong set of men, you're going to get defeated every time. And I got news for you. I'm not seeing a lot. I mean, if I pursue or go through anything or read stuff, it's always the same old thing. It's like, you know, not everybody's the same, and we need to welcome people because we're all a set of this, that, and the other thing. I can tell you this. When my grandparents came over here and a lot of my friends' grandparents and great-great-grandparents, you know what? You know, you came to this country. You assimilated.
Yep.
You wanted to be part of the fabric of America.
Right.
And, you know, look, you know, think about this when you were a kid, too. I mean, I used to love to watch the guys black. I'll still stop and watch them, but it isn't like it was. Think about, like, the old black toppers and, you know, anybody seen, like, hammering stuff or carrying shit. I remember they weren't even – some of these guys weren't big as far as I consider big, but you could see they were strong as hell. But one thing I always notice on a real man, look at their fingers and their hands and their wrists, man. I mean, they're just big and strong.
Right.
And it's like we lost so much of that industrial revolution here because they decided to ship it all off the shore. And most of the shit now, I mean, there's very – I think our rate now has slipped under 30%. For basically working men and women that work with, you know, hammers, shovels, you know, anvils, et cetera, et cetera. And now it's just, like you said, the thumb generations. It's not just this one. There's more before it. We've lost a ton here, and we've lost that ability to, if you had to fight or defend yourself, I think a lot of these people now couldn't even handle it. I think they would get defeated very quickly. If not, they would probably be murdered.
Strong men around are the veterans. And this is one of the reasons why the liberals have labeled the veterans as terrorist threats.
Ugh.
There are 40 million vets in the United States, most of them over the age of 40.
Yep.
And they're about the only guys with any balls still left.
No.
You know, famous study, and I quoted this study on your show before, but it bears retelling because it goes directly into what we're talking about now. In England, in the 1970s, during the height of the feminazi movement, women were asked what they wanted in their men, and they all wanted delicate men who had nice feelings, who, you know, who could help them pick out dresses and shit, and men with nice, gentle hands.
Yeah.
Nice, slim, gentle. Well, after almost two generations, they redid the study again. And it turns out that all those guys with the nice feelings and the whatever were horrible homemakers, home builders. A woman wants a man. Even the feminazis want a man who can build their nest, who can make a home, who can go out and work, make a home for her and the children.
Yep.
And these guys were so feminized, these guys that the feminazis picked, that they were incapable of holding down a job. They were incapable of doing well at a job. They were incapable of building a home. And, you know, the guy's always looking for dresses and handbags, but the shit's he gonna do. So, the change within two generations, the pendulum swung the other way, and the girls, the first thing they looked for, they didn't look at a guy's crotch, they didn't look at the size of his wallet, they were looking at a man's hands. All of a sudden, women were looking at men's hands to figure out who the actual workers were. And if they had nice, delicate hands with slim fingers, they'd just gloss right over them, and they'd go for the guy with the big, thick, meaty hands with the Frankfurter fingers, because that's the guy who could actually work. That's the guy who could actually build a nest. That's the guy who could actually make a home and be a decent husband.
Yeah, and that's the protector and the guy that'll open the door for you.
Exactly.
And hopefully he never cheats on you because he feels that this is all I want, my loyalty's here, I watch your back and mine. Well, here's the thing, too. All right, so we've got this. Let's talk about here or anywhere. I don't care because we're all over the world now. What would you suggest, and we could use any of your products. I mean, this isn't what we're trying to do is push stuff, but we want to talk about how to build testosterone. Let's talk about how do we build men again. And guys right now that are going to be listening to this saying, you know what, I'm just not feeling it. I want to get a little bit stronger. I want to be a little bit more confident. I want to I just like to go out with my wife and just, you know, people maybe take a look at me and say, wow, you know, this guy's 45 years old and he's holding it together. You know, he doesn't have the 6-month pregnant gut, and he looks like a guy that, hey, you know what, this guy could stand up to anything. So how do we want to go about, let's talk about rebuilding men and what you would suggest taking, and you know, how we could get, you know, anybody that needs some help here, we can lend it to them.
You know, guys are always sizing other guys up. Real men are always sizing other men up.
Yep.
Could I take this guy barehanded if I have to?
Yep.
Every guy thinks that. You know, and the primary two things, I could talk about all the herbs, I could talk about all the pro testosterone supplements, but the first thing, the foundation for making testosterone is very, very, very simple. Two minerals, zinc and magnesium. You cannot make testosterone. Your body cannot manufacture testosterone, insulin, or thyroxine without zinc and magnesium, a whole freaking hell of a lot of it. And most of us don't get anywhere near as much zinc as we need, especially if we're paying attention to the freaking RDA.
Yep.
And most of us are not getting anywhere near as much magnesium as we need because we think that calcium is more important than magnesium, and it isn't. So at least 100 milligrams of elemental zinc a day. 200 is better.
Yep.
And at least 1,000 milligrams of elemental magnesium a day. Now, in some guys younger than, let's say, 30, 35, if you take that load of zinc and magnesium just before you go to bed, you will help your body to make testosterone that night. You'll wake up with a woody and, yay, the world is great. We make 70% of our testosterone between 2 and 4 a.m., so between 2 and 4 in the morning.
Yep.
If we've got the zinc and we've got the magnesium floating around, we will make testosterone. You'll wake up with an erection, and that's how you know you made testosterone the night. That night is you wake up, and you look up, and there's a tent there. So,
just don't roll over, right?
Yeah, it's like wheel chalk. It won't let you roll over all the way. So now for guys over 30 and 35, we need a little bit more help, and then for guys over 40, we need more help, and then for guys over 50, we need a hell of a lot more help. We progressively. Charles Polkman said 31 is the new 50. He was absolutely right.
Yep.
So if you're over 30. Then we need to throw in the pro-testosterone stuff, the stuff that will turn into testosterone. Now, some guys say, okay, I'm taking DHEA. Yeah, DHEA turns into testosterone. Well, you know, DHEA is maybe 5 or 6 steps away from being testosterone, but before it turns into testosterone, it turns into estrogen.
Ooh.
And then maybe it turns into testosterone, and maybe it doesn't.
Yeah.
Dr. Sid Galinsky, the late Dr. Sid Galinsky, who I hold in very high regard, Dr. Galinsky was a PhD pharmacologist. He was one of the only naturopaths still left who was OBGYN board certified. He was an endocrinologist. The guy just had it all over. But what tells you what Dr. Galinsky did was absolutely right, he was in his 70s and 80s with a 30-year-old wife.
Uh-huh.
That's what tells you that what he did was
hell yeah,
really just dead on. And Dr. Sid took a bunch of bodybuilders and he fed them DHEA. Just fed them 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 milligrams, as much as they wanted to take. And every week he would do a hormone test on these guys.
Yep.
And for the entire, I think it was either 6 weeks or 6 months, I don't remember which, forgive me. For the entire duration of the study, the testosterone didn't go up one frickin' bit, but their estrogen went skyrocketing.
Oh, shit.
So DHEA is not what we need to take. We need to take something that is one step away.
Yep.
From being testosterone. Now, the government did us all a great favor back in the 1990s and got rid of the best thing that could turn into testosterone, which was androstenedione.
Yep.
Androstenedione, the 17 and the 4-dione versions were absolutely the best pro-testosterone supplements ever created.
Yep.
And Congress, again, they don't want feisty citizens, they want meek, weak subjects.
Yep.
So they did us all a favor and got rid of the androstenedione because it's bad when an athlete uses anabolic steroids.
Right.
Like, find me one that freaking doesn't.
No shit. Yeah. Remember that I think I said this on the show. You probably knew anyways. I had a laugh the one day. I was flipping through that shit ESPN, which I can't stand any of that. And suddenly there's no more WSM, World's Strongest Man, on. And they made an announcement, one of those brain dead suckers on the mic. And he's like this, we're no longer going to do that because they're all on steroids. And we're going to bring the CrossFit games on. And this summer was the funniest thing of all. A whole bunch of them got busted with steroids in their bloodstream. So, you know what I mean? It's like, come on.
Find me a pro batter.
Yeah.
Who isn't on testosterone. Find
Absolutely.
Me any football lineman who isn't on the juice. Matter of fact, pro football linemen used to call me up to ask me how to cycle so that they wouldn't test positive. Give
Absolutely.
Me a break.
Absolutely. You know,
let's get rid of the entire fucking NFL.
No shit.
All on the damn juice. And
I'd rather just
because they're all on HGH.
Yeah, I'd rather just see the NFL go bye-bye. They can play street football and see who the hell lasts with like fucking brass knuckles and no face mask. But okay, so
I want to bring rollerball on. I'd love to have rollerball.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
A lot of people get hurt and maimed though. They wouldn't let you do that. The government would have to step in and stop your ass one way or the other. all right, so we need something one step away, and I know you make stuff like that, but what do we need to do here? Because what I'd like to do is we can kind of – you can say, I mean, we've already talked about zinc and magnesium before bedtime, but, you know, maybe we can give everybody a little regimen and, you know, obviously, you know, push your stuff because we know how good your stuff is.
Thank
so
you.
Proceed. I mean, go ahead.
So – 100 milligrams of zinc,
yep.
1,000 milligrams of magnesium, and then we have two supplements, each of which has at least one, sometimes two, pro-testosterone things that are one step away from being testosterone, plus they have stuff in them to create luteinizing hormone or dopamine, both of
yep.
which aid in testosterone production. So it was impossible for me to put all of this stuff into one capsule.
Yep.
And have it be bioavailable. So I had to split it up into two separate supplements. And here I have to say that if you find a supplement that's got everything under the sun and all the ingredients are good for you, all the ingredients are shown and proven to make testosterone, it probably isn't going to work worth the shit because there's not enough
exactly.
stuff in it.
Yep.
Enough of the good stuff in it to make a difference. You'd have to take 12 to 20 capsules a day just to make a difference. So we start off with our Andean Essence Max. And you take three capsules of that twice a day. And then you take our Enkindle, and you take two capsules of that twice a day. On top of the zinc, on top of the magnesium, you'll wake up with a woody in the morning, if you're under 40. If
Right.
you're over 40, 50-50 chance you'll wake up with a woody in the morning. Then you need a little bit more help. You need more of the stuff to make dopamine and luteinizing hormone. See, there are two reasons why men go into andropause. Andropause happens either because the pituitary stops making luteinizing hormone, that's the
yep.
hormone that tells your testicles to make testosterone, or you just plain go into testicular failure. Men don't want to hear that, but 50%
right.
of the guys go into testicular failure, and 50% of the guys don't have enough luteinizing hormone, which is why after 40, 45, the pro-testosterone supplements will only work partially for half the population, and will work only... and won't work at all for the other half of the guys. And that's when guys really need to start considering doing testosterone replacement. So,
yep.
before you're 40, have at it. Have all the testosterone replacement stuff you want. After you're 40, you might take it as a supplement, but
yep.
there's no guarantee it's going to make T. And after 50, you might take it as a supplement for all the rest of the good health benefits, but it's likely not going to make much in the way of testosterone at all. Because by then you have gone into andropause, and you do need the testosterone replacement. The best testosterone replacement in the world is the BioT implant. This little pellet goes in under your skin, in your hip, and 50, 60, 70-year-old guys think they're 20 all over again. Now, the coolest thing in the world is that when you've got the implant in, if you know you're going to have a really hot date, Or, you know, your wife has gotten really excited about something and she wants to have sex for the first time in 9 years. You do side leg raises on the side that you've got the implant in. You flush blood past the pellet, and all of a sudden you've got a rush of testosterone going. That's
no shit. That's cool.
That is cool. Yeah, you do that before you go lifting.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, you'll just start blowing out your totals.
Oh man, what a frigging! And is that something now? If they have to go obviously to their physician
to
anti-aging.
Yes, to the specific docs who do BioT, BIOTE, bio, okay. And then the second word is T. They're all over the U.S. For the guys over 45, especially over 50, that's probably the best way to go. You're going to spend a shitload of money on supplements that aren't going to do very much. I'm the guy making the supplements, and I'm telling you that after 50, they ain't going to work. I take them, but for reasons other than making testosterone.
Yep.
So you know the supplements work great for 20-year-olds. They work well for 30-year-olds. Over 40, they work for half the population. Over 50, forget it.
And that's the thing. And plus, a lot of people then start getting into the legal markets, and you got to be damn careful because you don't know what you're getting.
What you're getting, especially if you manage to get the stuff from China. You know what you're getting.
Well, I mean, and they've got quite a track record because everything they do to us is usually they've got our money system or they poison the toys, you know, and that's the end of everything. So it's like, I'd be very careful what you're shooting into your bloodstream from there. Obviously, that stuff is going to work big time. But, you know, do you still feel, obviously, we want to get our T as high as we can, but do you still feel that working out at, say, well, what you're going to say, but, you know, we're talking 50s, 60s, as long as you can keep going. If we're doing things right now, you heard what I was saying, what we're doing tomorrow, because I believe with the egg timer and doing these short sprints with the big heavy stuff, and then taking it could be cut in half or a third, and then going down like double the footage. I know when I train like that, I am so goddamn aggressive. It's insane.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, now what's your feeling, though? Now, you know, obviously we're getting our 50s. Maybe we've got, you know, we haven't taken the best care of our arteries, so we're not really getting a lot of blood down to the Johnson, or maybe we are. And what do you feel? I mean, do you feel that type of training can, I'm not saying you're going to have 1,000 reading on your testosterone or anything like that, but do you feel even at that age, say if you're doing the short explosive bursts and maybe the longer, and, you know, I read a good article the other day, and I don't remember who wrote it, where they were talking about for men especially, they need to lift barbells, especially when they get older.
Right.
What's your feeling, Doc, then with testosterone with that?
The studies are very clear. As long as you don't exhaust yourself, a short, intense workout will cause the body to release luteinizing hormone, which will cause you to create testosterone. The studies are very, very, very clear on that. What is bad are the guys over 35, 40 who try to train like the kids do, spend an hour and a half in the gym. They will have the initial burst of testosterone, but then the exhaustion will make them estrogen dominant.
Yeah, they'll kill it. And you know, this is a big thing because this stuff we're talking about today, there's so many people that are so fouled up with everything. It's like they don't know what to do. You know, they're training, they're not getting any results. And this goes for the younger kids, too. I mean, you and I have hit upon this stuff. You know, I look at Alex here, right? And I'm not bragging either. But you know something? He's got an opportunity here. I mean, think about it. He'll be here 20 weeks tomorrow. He's gained 12 pounds. I mean, solid pounds, too. I mean, he's 6'1". He's only 155. I mean, I could put another 30 on him, and he still wouldn't have any fat hanging around his belly.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is this. It's like, just think of the opportunity. Now, tomorrow he doesn't know, and we're gonna do event training with him for Iceland. And I want to do this for one reason. I want to see how he handles things mentally because he's come so far already. I know at first it's going to probably be a shell shock because me and he's going to train with me, and you know, I'm not docile at all. And he's going to be
the kind of guy the government hates.
Wait, should I hide under my bed?
No. No, you know, we're all going to die with our boots on like men.
Fuck yeah, man. We ain't going out any other way, dude. There ain't any. You know, I have people say to me all the time, okay, and I know you've heard this through your various versions of all the athleticism you have conquered. When are you going to stop? Aren't you doing it too heavy? Aren't you afraid of breaking something again? Are you afraid, you know, you could have a heart attack and die from that? You know, this
answer is real easy. When I stop breathing.
Yeah, and it's like the thing I don't get is why is everybody so interested when I want to stop?
Because they want you to be like them.
That'll never happen. You know, I can tell you this, all right? I weigh right now about between 301 to 303, all right? I could lose 150 pounds and still be very ripped and athletic and still strong. Not like I am now. I know that. I will never, and I'll repeat this, never hang out or connect with assholes like that. Never. See, people don't realize this, and this all goes back to what we started talking about in the first segment. Just because you trim down a little bit or you choose to do something different with weight training or stones or martial arts or whatever, do you really think my disposition is going to change? It's not. That's what people can't draw. See, remember we talked about that whole mental thing, the crushing mental thoughts with the physical. People can't understand that, well, you're not doing what you did. How come you're not friendlier, or why don't you listen to
us
now?
Wolves and German shepherds don't hang out with dachshunds.
No shit. Why don't they see that, though?
Because that's right. They're a dachshund. They're a little dog. They can't imagine what a big dog feels like. You know,
know
big dogs have a thing. Big dogs know they're big dogs, even when they're puppies. A big dog knows he's a big dog. The little dogs never get it.
No. And you know something, too? It's so right. You know, like we've talked about this. You know, walk through any store. I love going through Whole Foods. I hate that place, by the way. I love going through there and watching all the self-ordained health gurus walking all over the place. I'm like, are you friggin' kidding me? I've gone in those places that you get kind of friendly if you're in, and they'll come up and they'll ask me, now, you know about this. What would you think? I'm like, I thought you were the expert. You know what I mean?
Don't they all look like they just walked out of a Siberian concentration camp?
Yeah, they look like shit. And they got the attitude of shit, most of them, too.
Yeah.
Did you ever go in?
Yeah, just eating vegetables.
Oh, but don't you know, the government says you need 12 servings a day.
Yeah, right. My idea of a salad is a sprig of parsley on my prime rib.
No shit. My brother's been doing it. He's really cut the carbs out to almost nothing. And he's still weighing over 200, and he's, like, ripped and stronger than ever. And it's like, you don't need all the grains and the loads of vegetables and juicing everything you can find and this and that and the other thing.
Juice
to me
guarantees you're going to get an insulin resistance because most of the sugar in a vegetable or in a fruit is held in the fiber. When you whiz it through a blender, which is what a juicer is, it's a glorified blender, you've broken down the fiber, you've released the sugar.
Yep.
You're getting a shitload of sugar. And that's all you're getting from that stuff, just carbs.
Yeah, I'd rather sit and eat a Hershey bar. I enjoy it more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, what the fuck? If I'm going to jam my shit up, I might as well eat something I want.
You know, and the chocolate gives you phenylethylamine, which is a great brain chemical, the same brain chemical you have when you're in love.
Yeah, exactly. You feel like you could fucking leap over the moon, man. You feel that good. No, and that's the thing. There's just this... I know what you mean when you see these people. I mean, they're supposed to be healthy and they're broken down the shit, and they're looking at me like, "Oh, look at the weightlifter. He's a dumb fuck."
You know
what I mean?
Self-righteous sons of bitches.
They all are too. It's like, can I ask you a question? They look at you like, "Yeah, I guess that's why I'm here, and I wear a name tag that says I'm smarter than you are." I'm like, "No, you're not. You're a fucking idiot to boot." You know what I mean? It's like, it's like I'd like to give them a V8 right over the head. You know, like,
the good thing is the average life expectancy of vegetarians is 56, and they're making it worse because they're also usually runners. And
basically,
suicide.
Yeah. Well, you know something? And they're the most unhappy people.
Because they're counting every calorie that goes into their mouth.
I know. Wouldn't you be unhappy, too, if you had to watch every fucking goddamn carrot you put in your throat?
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? But here, I mean, as far as with your stuff, if they went on those four products and they weren't, say, in their 50s, or even if they wanted to just for health, those four would be a very good barometer to what they'd be dealing with pretty much?
Yes.
If they went, okay.
Exactly.
And they went out.
We've had athletes from high school to professional level to Olympic level use our supplements and tell us that, for example, they take the Andean Essence half an hour to an hour before a workout. The workouts are easy, and they increase their totals.
Yep.
Enkindle releases luteinizing hormone dopamine and has a testosterone precursor in it. And folks are using that to level off their mood. I would have never have expected this stuff to level off mood. But it not only levels off the mood, it makes them more romantic. That's a dopamine. I get that.
That's a nice byproduct, too.
Oh, gosh, yeah. You know, hey, baby, come in. You got a father, you know.
And I'll tell you another thing.
I got a headache.
Yeah, well, then I got to go out.
Yeah, right.
But I'll tell you something. We didn't even talk about this. As everybody knows, Doc is very generous with me with sponsoring me with Iceland, and I was talking about sleep one time off the air, and I'm taking one of his products called Equanimity, and I took that last night, and I'll tell you, man, I slept like a friggin' rock. I think maybe I got up once to go to the bathroom like at 4:30 in the morning, and I woke up and there's no hangover or nothing, and it's like I told him how he started me on this was, I lift at night usually. Now, tomorrow we do the stones during the daylight if we can, just mainly because for safety's sake, even though we got lights all over. But as I told him, and I'm sure a lot of the guys and gals out there that listen to this show realize that when you're popping stuff out like that, I come inside, shower, have a bite to eat. I can't go to sleep right away. I can't get myself to come down like that. So I started taking that, and I'll tell you what, I don't even think I lay there 10 minutes. I'm out cold. Bang. And it's not the kind of stuff where you're taking shit to fall asleep, where the next day you feel like you haven't slept at all. You're yawning all day. You're dragging. Very energized and all that. And I think, like, with all the stuff we talked about here with testosterone, that's all great. But if you're not recovering, meaning you're not sleeping, I think that's something you got to really go out and identify and, take ownership of it and take care of it. You know, I think it's very important. So, I mean, that's my stamp on your equanimity.
Thank you. Again, we make testosterone, 70% of it, between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. If you're not sleeping well, you're not making tea.
There you go. And you know something, that's one of the things, like with everything we're talking about today, I mean, people don't realize how vital it is to have your, you know, not only testosterone, I mean, all your organs need to be really working and be very healthy, man. It's like you don't realize the pressure you put on. You know, I'm thinking the other night coming out of the shoot with 507, you know. Do you realize what kind, you know, even though it wasn't a problem to do it, but you know that kind of duress you're putting on your body, mm-hmm. mentally and fit?
Yeah.
And then if you're not coming in and sleeping or you're not eating properly, I mean, how do you expect to gain muscle, to gain endurance, to gain just the mental ability to work all day? You know, most people hold jobs. You and I have businesses, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I got news for you. You're putting out, you don't realize it, but you are putting out mega horsepower. Like Doc and I are talking right now, and you know when you get together, we're pretty vocal and we're pretty animated when we talk. Well, in case you haven't learned anything, he and I right now are really expelling some energy. So you need to be able to replenish this stuff, exercise, sleep, obviously what you eat, et cetera, et cetera. So there's no way you can draw the physical from the mental end. They go together or you don't go together. Put it that way.
Exactly. If you don't have it together, you won't last very long in the iron game.
No. And you know something? I'll say this again. You know, atmosphere equals attitude. And I got news for you. This is the best thing you can ever do. Now, look, we all, you know, Doc does martial arts. He's been involved in a lot of other things. I pretty much have just been, in the stone and the lifting and the power rack, and I've done a lot of things. And this walking stuff is like the best stuff I've ever done, because I just feel if you know how to do it and you train correctly with it, I don't know, man. I know everybody likes to sprint and run and this, that, and the other thing. And I've talked to a lot of very notable people that I respect and admire. I don't know. The consensus more and more when I'm talking to people about bear hugging and carrying, more and more people seem to be waking up to the fact that this can make you one hell of a fucking mean machine, man, and a strong and enduring machine. What do you think now? I mean, you and I have talked about this a little bit. I mean, you know, we're talking here building testosterone. We're talking here about the mind-body connection. What do you think, in your opinion, of the walking and holding or bringing sandbags to each side of the shoulder, where it's an explosive but it's also a strength-building movement? And you heard what we were talking about, where we're going to go short distances heavy with the stone and then lighter ones. I mean, what do you think as far as a building like a plethora of sky-high testosterone, something you know that's there? What do you think about that, Doc? I mean, is that something that you feel is very viable even for, say, a 12-year-old athlete that wants to start out?
You know, it what will release testosterone in an older man will release testosterone in a younger man.
Mm-hmm.
So if the short, intense periods of work release testosterone, it'll work on any guy, providing he hasn't hit andropause.
Yep.
So
yep.
Yes. It will work. Now think about this. Your lifting of the stones, you're running with them, even short distances. You're doing all the things that you do with the weight. We work on a spectrum. You've got like marathoners and triathletes on one end of the spectrum. You've got power lifters on the other end of the spectrum. So one rep, super heavy, or 26 miles, very light. And we know that one makes you super strong, but it doesn't give you a whole hell of a lot of endurance. Where right. The other one gives you a hell of a lot of endurance, but you're about as weak as a concentration camp victim.
Yep.
So the what you're doing blends the super strength with endurance, because I guarantee you that if you can walk or run or trot or just carry,
yep,
with those big heavy stones. Or any distance at all, you put the stone down, shit, you know, how far could you go?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what I notice with it more than anything now, because this is the third trip coming up, it has a mental, what's the word I want to use? It has a mental, I'll say like a mental life of its own. When I grab that thing, man, the charge is like it feels like somebody put a charge on each side of my temple and turned the machine on. Now, look, rack work is the most intense thing I've ever done. I feel that's close to that. I mean, you know, we can talk farmers, yeah, walks, et cetera, et cetera. But there's something that goes off when you carry something very heavy, because it almost feels like I've put my body into a crisis mode where it's like, holy shit, man, what did you pick up here, and am I going to be able to hold this and get you to where you got to go? But on the other hand of it too, I think it creates, I said before, that mental tenacity where, man, you are holding on for your life. And I think as you build that tenacity over and over and over again, it's just like something happens to you in a way where it's like, yeah, that might be a little heavier, but I got it. Not unless you're overtrained or you just got a bad night, which we all have. It's a different flow, that physical. Because I sent Dr. Wong some stuff, some video of us, and I said that in the beginning of the show, and I'm going to send him some more after tomorrow. If you analyze when you look at me doing something, look at how fast I've got to pick something up and connect those two pieces right away. Because one, either it's got to come right up, bear hug, and stand with it, or two, it's got to come right up, bear hug, and take off with it. That's an awful lot of shit that's going on that you're trying to process. And I think when you're doing that stuff, man, all the other shit outside of there is like, it's like chicken feed with you, because you've established. See, it's like anything that would happen outside of me would be like the you know, when the Hulk gets the gamma shot through the veins, right? It's the same thing. that same thing's happening to me. I'm not lifting a stone, but something outside of my being has told me something's going on. So all I can say to you is you got to try it to believe it, because it definitely changes how everything outside of you connects, and obviously when you're going out after something huge like that, how you connect that way. That's it.
You just described exactly what the triathletes and the marathoners talk about when they talk about hitting the wall and getting the runner's high.
Yep.
When your body is asked to do something that's so far and away above the norm, your body reacts to the stress of it by releasing a bunch of brain chemicals called endorphins and enkephalins.
Yep.
And those are not only painkillers, but they're feel-good stuff, because it hurts so much to do what the frick you're doing.
Hell yeah.
Your brain goes, oh, shit, I've got to cover up the pain, or we're never going to get through this. So when your brain starts releasing those endorphins, you're all of a sudden,
yeah. Tarzan swinging from the rope.
Exactly.
Man.
You know,
where's Jane?
You can't stop, and you feel wonderful. And so you're getting what the runners call a runner's high from doing this lifting, which also shows that you're doing endurance work.
Yep.
Good.
And you love it. All right. If you want to surmise everything, especially with the supplements, and obviously we talked about, you know, the connection with everything, and give out your info, give out your website, and let me finish mine up, and we'll sign off for today, if you would, please.
So far, the best things that I have found to help your body make its own testosterone are 100 to 200 milligrams of zinc citrate. And if you use our zinc citrate, we have 100 milligrams of elemental zinc citrate per capsule, so that's only 2 capsules a day.
Yep.
And 1,000 milligrams of magnesium, again, if you use our Mag Scorbate, that's 2 capsules a day instead of 10 with other brands.
Yep.
And then if you use our Andean Essence, it's 2 to 3 capsules twice a day. 3 capsules twice a day is better than 2 capsules twice a day. And combine that with the Enkindle at 2 capsules twice a day. And if you're under 40, 45, you will find that is rocket fuel for your testosterone production.
That's awesome. And don't forget docsprefer.com for that. You know, go out and check that out, because we've sent a lot of people out to them. And they're very, very happy, and this would be a nice question. Anybody that is doing this protocol, Dr. Wong just said, you know, he'll give you his website. I'll give you mine. You can email us, whatever. I'd love to see if anybody is doing this in a follow-up. So take it away. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to interject that now so I wouldn't forget.
You know, and again, as Eric said, the website is docsprefer.com. You can also type in drwongsessentials.com. Either address will get you to the exact same place. We are available through the website to answer questions. Hit the inquiry key and go ahead and email me. I answer emails a good bit of the day, mostly between like 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock in the morning in the evenings. So if you don't hear from me within 4 or 5 days, it's because I haven't gotten your email. I answer just about every email I get, except for the really ridiculous ones like, you know, why is there air? on average, I answer between 8,000 to 10,000 emails a year, pro bono.
God.
So that's 20 to 40 emails a day. So
yep.
Email me, and you'll more than likely get an answer. Not going to guarantee you like the answer, but you'll more than likely get an answer.
But you get an answer.
you'll get an answer.
My
ministry is to spread the gospel of natural health. My ministry is to spread the gospel of manliness. My ministry is to spread the gospel of systemic enzymes. And my ministry is to try to help people as much as I possibly can for nothing. And even when I point them into other people's supplements, that's perfectly all right with me, because I'm trying to help. I can't get to everybody everywhere. you know, back when I was ordained an Orthodox priest, I was trying, I was asking God, what am I going to do to make this ministry work? Who am I going to minister to? What am I going to do? And this kind of turned out to be the answer.
Yep. And you're doing damn good work, because I'm telling you right now, you and I both know, let's be frank, it's not real nice out there right now. And there's we've talked about this today with the estrogen and the men and the kids struggling. This is no joke, everybody. And, you know, we come from a different background, all of us, but the thing that ties and binds us all together is we love physical health, physical culture, weights, stones, martial arts, MMA. I don't care what it is, all right? But that's the bind that we all have here, especially with Motivation Muscle, right? But there's an awful lot of people out there looking for this stuff. We got to get it out to them. You know, books are great. People are always like, well, you want to talk about absolutely, all right? I got enough. I got three books half done probably I could do. But you want me to tell you something? Nothing is ever going to get out there like our spoken word. And I'll argue that till the day I die. I just don't feel that you can touch as many people with a book. And a lot of people now don't want to read books, let's face it. They'd rather listen. So I'm fine with that, you know. But go ahead. I didn't mean to interject again.
You're absolutely right, especially the younger generation now refuses to read books. Although it's odd. They don't want to read a book, but they'll text all get out. I don't understand I'm just old, as my youngest son keeps on reminding me.
Yeah, well.
You know, so the information that we put out there, whether we put it out in the spoken word or the written word, we put it out for the benefit of folks. Yes, we have a business doing this.
Yep.
We also have a crusade doing this. This is what we are. This is who we are. And we want as many folks to find the benefit of what we do, just like Paul Bragg did, just like Jack LaLanne did, just like Patricia Bragg does. We want folks to know the benefit of what we do, because it will be helpful in your life, because it will benefit your life, and because it will help make you happy.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, too, with us here, you know, with all you guys on, and now we've got you on twice a month next year, it's this. But we've got some real players here, man, and by that I mean we've got some people that really give a shit here that have done so many big, big things in their life, and they want to do more, and they love what they're doing, and they love helping people and coming up with solutions. It's like, we need to do this as much as we can and just keep spreading it and making it bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm not asking you to buy anything from me. Would I like it to? Yeah. I mean, I have to make a living like this, but my mission is here. Let's get as many people into the family here and help out as much as we can, because I don't want to see you go to somebody and get your ass ripped off, and then you're screwed up the rest of your life and you can't do anything because of that. Or, you know, they've messed with you so bad mentally you can never get it together. And don't sit there and shake your head and say it doesn't happen, because it happens more than it does happen.
Okay, all the
time. It doesn't happen. So, yeah. So it's very important. Finish up, Doc. I didn't mean to keep going off on you.
Perfectly. All right. We're both now preaching and spreading this gospel. You know, I used to be a guy who always looked to the old docs for information that I didn't learn in school, information that I wasn't getting in my internships or wherever else I was doing. The old docs had the clinical experience. The old docs had all these nifty techniques. The old docs knew all these special therapies, and I always looked to them. They're all dead now. I'm the old doc. And it baffles me to be in this position now. But now I'm the guy that the young docs come to.
Yep.
I'm the guy that the younger folks are coming to, and I'm scratching my head going, wait a minute, I'm not that old. Oh, shit, I am that old. But, you know...
But thank God you're around.
And you know, when we die... All that we were, all that we knew, sort of kind of dissipates. We probably take it with us, but everything we knew sort of kind of disappears. So get this information from us while we're here.
Yep.
Because likely the way the world's going, you ain't going to get it anywhere else.
No, not at all. And I'll tell you right now, I get this stuff all the time from people. It's like, we love your show. We're glad we discovered it. You've helped me out. You know, this, that. I could go on, and I'm not going to. But everybody out there knows the deal, and I couldn't be more pleased that we are helping people that, you know, maybe aren't sure, or they're just tired out. They don't know what to do. That's the idea, man, and that's what we're going to keep doing, and we're going to keep, like I said, we will be over a million strong, and I hope it's next year. You know, if I can do 100,000 downloads a month, I've got my million listeners, all right? And that is the goal. I want 10 million. I'm not going to, I'll hit a million, I want 2 million. That's how things work, and that's what we're going to do, and we're going to, I want to be, as I always say, the steward of strength, be a steward of strength. I want us to be the place where everybody goes to for information, period. That's it. End of the line. You know? You got anything else, Doc?
That's it.
Okay, I'll just give me my, let me give me my stuff, and I'll be right with you. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials. That's www.docsprefer.com. Obviously, you just heard another awesome show. They just get better and better. Also, too, motivationmuscle.com, you know, that whole thing, that's where we are with the show. You know this, too. Everything is out, the top 10 ways to build mind and muscles out of FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Don't forget, strength times power equals success, and obviously the winner's circle. Those are two big products that are getting ready to be launched. You're going to love what we did. That's all on FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Sponsorship is huge here. $500 a month is going to buy you an awful lot of advertising here, especially the beginning and the end. And all I can tell you is, wow, Jack Dennis has got new out there. Remember, the $30 to MBA. Next, you might have got to FiorellaBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com. Don't forget, too, iTunes and Stitcher, write us a 5-star review. That would be great. That's what we'd be getting. We're going to be around for a long time. You also want to go out to Facebook, Twitter, at Fiorello Eric. And don't forget these things here. You want to get a hold of me, Fiorello Barbell at nightcap.rr.com. Dr. Wong and I can do anything you want. Don't forget these four things up. Someone seeks you out in the concrete jungle or the gym, give them your time. Words can help anybody. Secondly, as my mom said, always don't be afraid to give a smile or a hello. A lot of people are hurting for it, and that might be all they get that day. Thirdly, go out tonight, bend some iron up, crush it, take stones and turn them into dust. And as I've said, look at our Who's the Steel Stone, the Crusher. It has domination on both sides. We are dominating the world, and we are going to dominate everything when we're done. So check that out. Obviously, too, no one is going to clip our balls. I've said that a million times. As Russell Fur says, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. Hey, Russell, best thing I've ever heard said to me, at least for now. I can't thank you enough. He'll be on next month, too. As I said, Dr. Wong's going to be on with us every other month starting in 2016, so he'll be on twice a month. We thank him for that. And, you know, all I can say is, Dr. Wong, obviously another masterpiece show. Thank you for being on, sir.
Thank you for having me on board.
Love to have you on board. So, as I always say, don't stand on the side of the road and watch the cars go by. You know, maybe you want to stop a few and see if you can get them into a little physical culture, get them interested. So be out there. Join the real world. You can make a change. So for Dr. Wong, this is Eric Fiorello. I want to thank everybody, and we'll talk. We'll be on next month with Dr. Wong, and then we start 2016. So everybody, have a good weekend, good safe weekend, and go out and make a difference in your life and somebody else's. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.